Zambia has one of the highest orphan rates in Africa, with 1.2 million children growing up without a parent. Hi, I'm Rob West. The numbers seem daunting. One out of every five children in Zambia is an orphan. But one group is laboring mightily to bring that number down, one success story at a time. Today, I'll talk with Mario Zanstra about that. We're off, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we're particularly delighted to have Mario Zanstra with us again today. He's president and CEO of Family Legacy Missions International, a ministry focused entirely on helping Zambia's orphans. And today, Mario is reporting in all the way from Zambia. Mario, great to have you with us.
It is great to be with you in this beautiful country.
I know it is. I've been right where you are, and man, I wish I was there right now. I know exciting things are happening there in Lusaka, Zambia, with Family Legacy Missions, Mario. You all, of course, help to feed and educate hundreds and hundreds of orphans each year, but right now you have a special summer program going on, so why don't we start there? Tell us about it.
So we have a program called Camp Life, and over the course of 5 weeks, we're going to have a little over 250 Americans come here, and they're actually going to become camp counselors to 2,400 kids that are going to come to the hilltop from the slum compounds throughout Lusaka.
That's incredible, and I know it's an amazing experience what goes on there. Tell us a little more about what you all do for these children. Of course, they're going to have a blast there at the hilltop, but the ministry is much more comprehensive in terms of how you're engaging and serving them.
Absolutely. We want to holistically care for these children. So for every child that comes, we want to impact them spiritually, physically, emotionally, and intellectually. Spiritually, of course, it's sharing the gospel with them. It's inviting them to have a relationship with Jesus. Physically, we're feeding them. We're providing medical care for them. And for a lot of our kids, the meal we give them doubles the number of meals that they might get in a day. On top of that, we help them unpack their trauma. And then all of that is on the platform of an education. We have 22 schools and 14,000 students throughout Lusaka, Zambia.
Wow. You mentioned they're coming out of the slums. Paint a picture of what life is like for them.
Yeah, for a lot of these kids, they're living with a caregiver that may not be their parent. In most cases, there's not a dad around. The men have actually become absent. And the average income for the caregivers of our kids is about $1.25 a day. Zambia is one of the poorest countries in the world, and 100% of our kids live below the global poverty line. Not Africa, not Zambia, the global poverty line.
Wow. And obviously you're meeting their physical and their spiritual needs. Give us a sense. You mentioned the Americans that are there, more than 250 of them. Give us a sense of how they're engaging in ministry with Zambia's orphans.
So as we bring them here, we invite them to engage incarnationally with these beautiful kids. They get to look at them eyeball to eyeball. And you know, as they're all vulnerable kids, they get a chance to see what's going on in the world. We give them questions to ask these kids that are appropriate questions to help kind of unpack what's going on in their world. And then we have breakout sessions that with these kids within a big group session. There's music, there's singing, there's skits. It's like a camp experience, but it's all done with a biblical backdrop. And the idea here is that they would understand some of the great stories of Scripture and how it would impact the way they think and live.
Yeah, it's incredible. Mario, obviously a lot of folks listening, they may have a chance to go in a future summer to Zambia, and we'll tell them more about that in the days ahead. But what can they do right now to get involved in this great work?
That's a great question, Rob. One of the great ways you can make a difference is helping our kids that lost their sponsorship during the COVID crisis. And so we're raising scholarship funds to keep them in school. And if you want to be able to help them by helping them be impacted by the gospel, to be fed, to get medical care, unpack trauma, and be educated, you can actually give monthly to hopeforzambia.com/faith.
That's great, Mario. Well, I know there's a lot more to come in the days ahead as we continue to talk about all that God is doing through Family Legacy, but we appreciate you taking a few minutes today all the way from Lusaka, Zambia, to check in with us. God bless you, Mario.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it.
If you'd like to provide hope to children in Zambia by investing in their education, spiritual growth, and physical well-being, check out hopeforzambia.com/faith. That's hopeforzambia.com/faith. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
In a world where no one can tell us no.
To this day, every human being born on this planet is the product of a male and a female. That's the way God set it up.
God created us in His image.
A place where Facebook and YouTube have no control.
I think the command in Scripture relative to men and women is not mainly women sit down, but men stand up, act like men, lead as you're supposed to.
A place where we can no longer be canceled.
When the Scripture speaks, God speaks. And if you understand that rightly, then everything else simply falls into place.
The American Family Association presents the AFA streaming platform. Just visit streaming.afa.net for the latest films, documentaries, and AFA original productions. You'll even find videos from some of your favorite talk shows. All you have to do is create a free account at streaming.afa.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This week on Truth for Life, learn to view the world through the filter of the Bible and view yourself in light of God's holiness. Find out why you can trust and praise God in the bad times as well as the good. That's on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. Let's dive in. We're going to begin today in Aurora, Illinois, and Jeremy, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Hello. Just want to say thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is the first time that I've been on the radio before, so I wanted to appreciate you for everything.
Well, thank you very much, Jeremy.
Yes. So me and my wife, we're in our 30s. We have a lot of work left to do. We have a 401k, but I want to have something extra that we can draw from once we retire.
Okay.
So we have a little more income coming in. Just want to get your thoughts on anything that you suggest.
Yeah, very good. So you say you're in your 30s. How much of your income are you putting toward your 401k right now? Do you know?
As far as I max whatever my work, so they match, I think, up to a certain percent. So I'm doing the max. It's not very much, to be honest with you. And then my wife has a little bit. She works for a privately owned company, so he offers a little bit as well. So I believe she's doing the max as well, but it's under 5%. It's not a whole lot.
Okay. And when you say the max, what are you referring to? Because you can put in up to $22,500 for 2023.
So it's whatever the percent. I think it's like 2.5% or 3. I mean, it's whatever the company is offering.
Okay.
So they I believe I do like 6%, and then they match like half of that.
Okay. But typically, even though you would take full advantage of their match, they'll allow you to put in as much as you want, as long as you don't over a 12-month period, or at least on a calendar year, as long as you don't go beyond the IRS limit, which is $22,500. So you would just specify what percent of your income you want to come out, and then they're going to match up to a certain portion, and that's going to be consistent across all the employees. We recommend 10 to 15% of your pre-retirement income. Now, you may not be in a position to do that. You may say, you know what, that's just going to take too much out of my check and not leave me enough left over for everything else, and that's fine. But that would be a goal, because ultimately what you'd like to have is, I mean, you know, by 35, and this is just rules of thumb, so don't let this scare you, but they would, you know, often say by 35, you'd want to have 2 times your income in retirement savings, by 45, 4 times, by 55, 7 times, and then ultimately 10 times your salary, pre-retirement salary, in a retirement account by the time you retire, so that amount at a 4% withdrawal rate plus Social Security could cover your living expenses in retirement, which is probably going to be 70 to 80% of your pre-retirement income, because a lot of expenses go down. Maybe you're not, well, you're certainly not saving for retirement anymore. So that's a major piece that comes off. Hopefully you're debt-free by then, so you don't have a mortgage payment. The kids are off the payroll. You drop your life insurance. I mean, you know, there's a number of factors that allow you to live on less. But the goal would be somewhere around 10 times your income plus Social Security, and that would give you what you need. Now, if you say, well, that's great, I'm just not sure I'm going to be able to do that, because if I'm making $600,000, $60,000 a year, that means $600,000 in the bank. If I'm making $100,000 a year, that's $1 million in the bank. Well, that's fine, but we just need to right-size your expectations of what is going to be available for your spending in retirement based on what you believe you can accumulate. But if you could get 10 to 15% of your pre-retirement income going to your 401k or whatever retirement accounts you and your wife have available, then if you do that for the next 30 years, you should be well on your way to meeting these targets. Does that all make sense, though?
It does. Okay. So I wouldn't need to worry about having anything extra to put in, just focusing on my strictly on my work 401k, hit that 10%, and then just stick with that until I retire.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the only other option you could look at would be another strategy is to say, okay, I'm going to fully max out whatever matching portion they give me. Then I'm going to pivot outside of my 401k to what's called a Roth IRA, R-O-T-H. Benefit of that is it grows tax-free. And that you would be able to put in, for instance, $6,500 this year, or you and your wife each in 2 IRAs, one for you, one for her, could put in $13,000. And then if you fully fund that and you still have more to do, then you'd come back to your 401k and increase it up to what you're able to put away. That would be a great option. Let me ask you, though, do you know if you happen to have a Roth 401k option available through your employer, or is it only the traditional?
It's only the traditional. I was looking into a Roth. We have an appointment with a bank about that. Brought up to me. Maybe open up one. I don't know if we could just open up that one or transfer everything from what we have into a Roth.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't be able to transfer into a Roth unless you already had a Roth. So anything else that would go into a Roth would either be a contribution, or if it's coming from a traditional IRA or old 401k, it'd go through a Roth conversion, which means you'd have to add it to your taxable income for the year as it goes in. But I think the big idea is, if you guys could focus on getting 10 to 15% of your income into a retirement account, whether that's all in the 401k or a combination of the 401k and the Roth IRA, that's the ultimate target that you're shooting for. And if you can do that over a long period of time, 3 decades or more, then you'll be well on your way to having what you need.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Jeremy. Thanks for being a first-time caller today. We appreciate it. To Maryland. Hi, Ann. Go ahead.
Hey, I have a question about investing. My husband passed away last year, and I had never handled much of the finances. So, but now I have a significant amount that I need to invest. And
yes, ma'am.
I've heard you talking about the CKA advisors, and
yeah.
I've gone online and looked at them. And one of them close to me, in fact, I have talked to on the phone, works with Merrill Lynch and
yes,
Bank
ma'am.
Of America.
Yes.
And, but there's another one or two that works, I guess, with private or personal, whatever companies, investment
okay.
companies.
Yes.
Is there a preference between the two? Does working with one with Merrill Lynch limit where my funds would
yeah.
be invested? Or,
yes. It's a great question, and I'm delighted to hear that you're interviewing at least one CKA and considering others. I don't have a preference on whether that CKA is with Merrill Lynch or an independent firm. In both cases, including the Merrill Lynch option, that advisor would basically have a full range of investments. It wouldn't just be proprietary investments. They'd be able to essentially buy any stock, bond, or mutual fund that you could possibly want, and they would build a portfolio that would make sense based on your goals and objectives. So I think the key is finding the advisor that you feel like you have a good match with, just in terms of temperament, how they're going to communicate with you, whether or not you fit into their target client and you'd be working directly with them, the fee schedule and experience, those kinds of things, whether they're with Merrill or, you know, John Doe Financial Services or Ameriprise, that's not really of a concern to me. I think the main thing is that you've interviewed a few and you find the one that you just really feel like is the best fit for you. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. And that answers
good.
My question very, very completely. So
good.
I thank you very much. But I really do appreciate your program. My husband and I started listening to that, I don't know, probably 40 years ago with Larry Burkett.
Wow,
and it
that's
has greatly
incredible.
Greatly impacted our lives.
Well, thank you so much. We've got to take a quick break. You stay on the line. We'll be right back.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Erin the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Back to the phones to Illinois. Hi, Joan. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you. My first question regards auto debits. I have automatic payments set up from my checking account for monthly bills like utilities, my only credit card, and multiple 403C organizations. What happens when I die?
Yeah, specifically with those auto payments, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you have a will?
No.
Okay. So you really need a will. The executor to your estate would take care of your accounts after you die and see the estate through probate to settle any outstanding obligations that you have, you know, pay any debts that you have, and then ultimately help with the facilitation to distribute the assets according to your will. So your will is really going to tell the probate court how you want all of your assets to be handled, and the person that you either name through the will or that's selected by the probate court in the absence of a will would be the one to provide death certificates and all the documentation to shut off those automatic payments, settle all of your accounts, and then ultimately distribute your assets.
So the auto debits would continue going until an executor would step in. So that could be...
That's right.
Is that what I understand?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, unless... Yeah, I mean, they would have to be notified that you were deceased, and or... if the credit card company or the bank was notified of your death, then obviously they would close the accounts and the auto payment wouldn't be processed. But until either your bank, credit card company, or you know, any of those vendors or your church are receiving, you know, receive notification, they're just going to continue to conduct business automatically because they won't know that you've passed away.
Correct. Okay. Second question, what recommendation could you give me for finding a POA for property, also health, but property mainly? No family, I'm a never married single person with no children. No family members can do this for me. The friend that I asked to be a POA for property declined because of her other responsibilities. Specifically, are there Christian organizations that do this, that you can hire?
Yeah. Are you looking for somebody just to make, if you were incapacitated, that would step in and actually help? Or are you looking at death, somebody to distribute your assets like an executor? What specifically are you looking for?
Oh, boy. Both.
Okay. Yeah, there are some organizations. I mean, basically, you could hire a corporate trustee that would help you make these decisions, and you could look for one that is faith-based. I would probably reach out to our friends at the National Christian Foundation and ask for a referral. You could also reach out to a godly estate planning attorney who may be willing to serve in that capacity as well. So NCF is the National Christian Foundation. You'll find them at ncfgiving.com. Otherwise, if you're just looking for a godly estate planning attorney who could advise you in these matters, and this is their business, this is what they do, and if you find somebody who shares your values, they would understand what you're looking for and wanting a corporate trustee or power of attorney that would be aligned with your faith values. Just head to our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click Find a CKA, and I would search for a certified kingdom advisor or two in your area. And when you call them, Joan, just let them know that you're looking for a referral to a godly estate planning attorney. They'll all have one that they work with, and then that person either could serve in that role or direct you to somebody who could.
Excellent. Thank you so very much, Rob.
All right. Happy to help. Thanks for your call today. Let's stay in Indiana. Hi, Ann. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to. I have two questions. The first question is, where can I buy gold?
Well, you can buy physical gold from any number of places. Is that what you're looking for?
No, I thought it would be wiser if you buy like stock gold. I'm not really familiar. I know that there's physical, but I've heard you before, you know, on the station saying that if you buy physical gold, then you have to store it, and then you have to pay extra to buy it, and then extra to sell it back.
Yes, that's right. So the alternative to that, if you didn't want to take physical possession, would be one of the gold ETFs. And so that stands for exchange traded security. You know, there's a number of them out there, and basically these are just tracking stocks that follow the price of gold. Do you have an advisor that you work with, Ann?
Well, the only thing we do have a little bit little money on a Roth account with Sound Mind Investing,
okay.
the sister company, and we went that route. I know you recommend the other institutions, so we went this route because they're Christian and we feel safe.
Sure. No, we have a great relationship with Sound Mind Investing. They're an underwriter of this program, and we know those folks well, going all the way back to their founder, Austin Pryor. So I think you made a great choice. They could help you with that, actually. They've got a number of articles and could actually make some recommendations specifically on how to add gold to your portfolio through a tracking ETF. So I would just contact them. What you will probably hear from them about is, for instance, one of them is GLD. That's the Spider Gold Shares. Another one is IAU. That's the iShares Gold Trust. There's another one called GLDM. I mean, there's a number of options, and all of them basically provide a tracking stock that's going to move with the underlying price of the precious metal, but without you having to take physical possession. So what I would do as a client of Sound Mind Investing, I would just reach out to them and say, listen, I want to add some gold to my portfolio. I'd like to do it without taking physical possession, and I'd like to see which exchange traded funds or mutual funds you'd recommend for me to use, and they will give you their suggestions. So that'd be the direction I'd go. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. We'll be right back with much more on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to the Hearts of Fire virtual event on July 14th. This is a one-of-a-kind virtual event that highlights stories from persecuted Christians around the world. This event will benefit the global body of Christ and inspire you in your own walk of faith. Hear from four persecuted Christians, plus join in worship along with Michael W. Smith. To register as an individual or host this event at your church, visit heartsevent.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we provide a hopeful, encouraging, biblical message of financial decision making. You know, it's all about looking through the lens of Scripture, holding what God has entrusted to us loosely so we can give generously. I would submit that's the primary purpose for which God has entrusted resources to us, clearly to provide for ourselves and our families. But I think so often we get stuck in an endless list of needs and wants, never getting beyond that to the opportunity to serve those on our path and be generous, supporting the work of the Lord. Think about that today as you consider your role as a steward in managing God's money. Let's head back to the phones to Antioch, Illinois. Hi, Karen. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I am going to receive a death benefit, a little bit over $12,000, okay? And I know the correct thing to do, I should. Dave Ramsey, I should have like 3 months emergency money put up. I should have all these things in place. What I am worried about is whether I should pay off a car or pay off my home. I live in a condo and I could pay it off, could pay my car off. And if I do everything that I'm supposed to, I'm living biblically, correct? At the same time, I have never been out of the country, and I've been wanting to go to Europe. And I'm kind of torn between doing everything that I should do biblically and the right way, and then yet at the same time, you know, trying to do a little heart's desire type of thing. And I was wondering if you could help me with that, because I'm struggling badly.
Yeah, I'd be happy to weigh in on that. And you may be surprised to hear me say, I don't think there's anything more biblical about paying down debt or giving than there is taking a vacation. Because part of what God entrusts to us, he wants us to enjoy. Now, we should do that in light of our values and our priorities and in the context of a well-thought-out plan that makes sense, so we're not incurring debt and unnecessarily and putting ourselves into bondage or robbing God of an opportunity or of providing. But at the same time, enjoying God's resources, being able to travel, build memories and relationships with people we love, that's perfectly appropriate. Again, as long as it's done in light of a plan. And that plan should start with your values and priorities. What is God doing in your life? And how can money as a tool help you best accomplish that? So I think we could work through that. I mean, ultimately, this is between you and the Lord, and if you decide to take a trip, I think that's great. We would want to try to, though, shore up some things that might make some clear sense as we just look at your financial life, starting with the fact that, yeah, I think think it would be really good for you to use this to develop an emergency fund of at least 3 months' expenses. I think getting out of high interest debt is a no-brainer. That's credit cards. If you have any ongoing credit card debt, I would do that. Now, at the same time you do that, you absolutely want to make sure you have a spending plan that balances that you're willing to stick to, because the last thing I'd want is for you to go and wipe out the credit card debt and feel really good about it, but because you're living beyond your means each month, it will come right back. So let's just make sure that we're not treating the symptom, but the problem, if there is one, in terms of overspending. Beyond that, I think, you know, you need to look at, does it make sense to go and pay off the car? If so, great. That way you could take that monthly payment and recoup that into additional savings, or put it away earmarked for your next car so you can buy that one with cash. The house is great, but that one, you know, as you said, could eat up all of this money, and we certainly don't want to do that because you have other priorities. So I think you just need to take them in priority order, but I wouldn't feel bad at all about reserving a portion of this for you to enjoy and get out and do some traveling. And I think you could feel good that that's certainly within God's plan for how we use his money, as long as it's been thought about, prayed about, and it makes sense in light of an overall financial plan. But give me your thoughts on all that.
I've just been wanting to do it, and I've struggled for many years, and this money is going to be kind of like a blessing, and it's almost like I feel like God's saying, okay, here, I'm going to give you this money. Now,
yeah,
use it wisely. This is going to be the last chance that you're going to get a bunch of money like this.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I could do some repairs to the house instead of pay the house off. But I do like that idea of maybe like paying the car off, and then using that and just keep making the payments, like I'm making the car payments, but put it into a savings account. I didn't really think of that.
Yeah, that could be a great option. Let's just break it down real quick. How much are you getting?
Somewhere between $10,000 and $12,000.
Okay. So let's say it's 10. What would you need if you wanted to put away 3 months' expenses? How much would that be?
Let's see. Probably about $1,000 a month is what I spend
okay.
on.
So let's say we put $3,000 in an emergency fund, and then how much, what do you owe? What debt do you have other than the car or the house, the condo?
Really not much. I have just the one credit card because I got rid of all the other credit cards. But that is, it's like only $1,000. So
okay,
I knew
great.
That I need to pay that down
yeah.
to about $600 or $400.
I'd pay that one off. There's no reason in paying, 16 or 20% interest on that. So I'd knock that one out. How much is left on the car?
$4,000.
Okay, and how much will your trip cost?
Probably about the same.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, I think what you could do is, if you were to put $3,000 aside, knock out the credit card, and then spend another $3,000 or $4,000 on the trip, that would be $8,000. You could go ahead and pay down the car another $2,000. So now the car's been cut in half, and then you could focus on just, knocking that off as you can. I think that puts you in a really strong position, allow you to enjoy some of this. You're coming home to a fully funded emergency fund and credit card balances at zero, and you're on your way to paying off the car, and then you can attack the condo next. I think that sounds like a great plan, Karen.
Do you that money so that I don't use it, should I put that like maybe in a 6 month CD so it's not readily available?
The emergency fund?
Uh-huh.
No, I wouldn't put in, I would separate it from your regular checking account so it doesn't get used, but I wouldn't put it in a CD because by definition, you want this readily available for the unexpected, and we never know when that's going to come. So what I would do is open an online savings account with an online bank. So you could go to bankrate.com and do a search to see who has the most attractive rates right now. But you'd open an online savings account, link it to your checking, and then deposit it there. So it's not too easy to get to, but you can get to it when you need to. And those are paying about 4% plus right now. So that would go a long way to getting you what you need. Hopefully that's helpful to you. Hey, you enjoy this, and I'm sorry to hear that it's a death benefit. Obviously, you've lost somebody that's important to you, but I know it'll be a blessing to them and to the Lord for you to use this wisely and honor Him with that. Clearly, your desire is to do that, or you wouldn't have called today. So listen, all the best to you, Karen, as you proceed from here. And if we can help further, let us know. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, then back. Steve, Cindy, Jesse, we'll see you on the other side of this on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
You've got Christians who love Jesus and they have kids and they're just like, I just don't know what my calling is.
Right.
Will and Mickey Addison.
What is it that Jesus wants me to do? I feel like I'm a teacher.
And that's that's why when you go to the scripture and talk about equipping the saints for work of ministry, you should look inside first. It can be right, you know, at your address.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Back to the phones we go here in our final segment to Geneva, Illinois. Hi, Steve. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I've been working on trying to get my credit up to the excellent level in the last 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
And I'm a member of Credit Karma, so I get to look at my TransUnion and Equifax each whenever I want to. And last month, I was 3 points from being in the excellent range on both of them, just 3 points away from 750. And they suggested that I take my Capital One credit utilization under 10%, and that would knock me up into the excellent level. So I did. I took my credit utilization down to 5% on the Capital One, and I know that Capital One reports on the 20th each month to the credit bureau. So I got on there the 21st to see if I made it to the excellent level. TransUnion bumped me up into the excellent level, and it said, see what changed. I clicked on that. It said Capital One balance decreased.
Yeah.
But on the Equifax one, it dropped me 26 points, and I clicked on see what changed, and it said capital balance decreased, and everything else was the same from the free.
Yeah.
I'm like, have you ever heard that where you dropped 26 points and you did the right thing?
Well, yes, only because there's so many factors here that play into this credit score, and nobody knows truly what the algorithm looks like. It's kind of like the Coca-Cola secret. I mean, we know the kind of the big pieces of it for sure, but exactly how it works, there's just a number of factors there. So it could have been that based on, and some of these may not apply, so I'm just throwing out some ideas, but based on the fact that you're using other cards, the reported balance performed before you pay it off. If you're using it for budgeted expenses, then paying down to zero, it may have pushed another card up in terms of credit utilization. Often there's a hard inquiry where you allow somebody to pull your credit. There could be errors on your credit report, which is why we need to regularly be pulling your three bureaus at annualcreditreport.com from Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. If you closed an account, those would be typically the reasons where, if nothing has changed, you have a drop in a score. It would be one of those: closing an account, utilization, hard inquiry, or an error. Apart from that, it's probably just somewhat of an anomaly. I just kind of keep monitoring it. I suspect it'll bounce right back. The key is you're doing the right thing. You're getting your utilization down. You're paying on time. You know, you're not out there seeking new credit, authorizing people to pull your credit and opening new loans. I mean, those are all the right things, and you'll be rewarded over time. Why your score bounces around 25 points here or there, you know, there's often no rhyme or reason. So I would just continue to watch it, and I suspect next time you pull it, it'll come right back.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I tried to call Equifax, but it's impossible to get a live
person. Oh, yeah. Good luck with that. So I just stay at it. But I would, if you haven't recently, pull a copy of each of those three credit reports just to make sure there's not any erroneous or incorrect information. Thanks for calling, Steve. We appreciate it. Winter Haven, Florida. Hi, Cindy. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, sir, for taking my call.
Sure.
Have a question. I'm 65, retired from the government, and I have a TSP, it's only got $30,000 left in it, and it's all in the G fund, which, as you know, is getting nothing. Would it be wise to move that money out of the TSP or somewhere in it, or move it to a Roth IRA somewhere else, like to E-Trade? And the second part of that question is, will it move me to a higher tax bracket if I never touch the money, you know, if it just goes from TSP to Roth electronically?
Well, you wouldn't roll it to a Roth. You'd roll it to a traditional IRA, and there's no tax implications to that. That's not a taxable event until you pull the money out. At that point, whatever you pulled out would be added to your taxable income, and a portion of that could bump up into a higher tax bracket without question. I think the key for you is what's the right investment mix. So you said you're 60 years old. Is that right?
65.
Okay. So typically we'd have somewhere between 35 and 45% in stocks at that point. And then, you know, you'd have the rest in bonds. The good news is, you know, bonds are going to come into favor here, whereas they've had a tough go the last, a year or so just because of the rapid rise in interest rates. But that 35 to 45% in stocks, which, you know, you could mix if you stayed in the TSP between the C and the S and the I fund, the common stock, the small cap, and the international, that would make up probably 35 to 45%. And then you'd have the rest in the F, with the smallest portion in the G, if any, and the fixed income would give you bond exposure. Or you could roll it out to an IRA and then build the portfolio yourself, or get some help at soundmindinvesting.org. You probably, doesn't sound like you have quite enough to hire an investment advisor. The nice thing about the TSP is there's, you know, you've got some great investment options, but there's not an unlimited number of choices there. There's really just five investments, which keeps it fairly simple. Now, if you're wanting to take, you know, far less risk even than what I'm describing, with maybe 35% in stocks and 65 in bonds, then, you know, you could go almost all bonds. But I kind of like that growth factor in there if you don't need this money, so that it can keep growing and be there for you down the road.
Okay. Well, obviously in the G fund, it is not growing.
Okay. No, there's not a whole lot going on in the G fund.
Yes. Okay. All right.
All right.
One question, silver coins. Should I just hang on to them, or is this a good time to take them to the jewelry shop or wherever and trade them in? They're doing nothing here in the house.
Yeah, I mean, that's up to you. Precious metals are great to buy and hold. And the downside is they don't have any income generation, obviously, as they're sitting in your drawer. Gold's done better than silver, but, you know, if you want to hang on to them just as something to have down the road, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I like that it's diversified for you away from the stock and bond market and should do well over time. And it's a store of value and a safe haven if things were to get, you know, more difficult in terms of economically. So I don't think there's any urgency to sell them unless you wanted to and, you know, put that money to work where it could be more income generating.
Okay. Appreciate your advice.
All right. Thank you for calling today. We appreciate it. To Pennsylvania. Hi, Seth. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. So my question in a nutshell is I have about $7,000 in a brokerage account, and I also have credit card debt of about $15,000 and a car loan for just under five. So what I'm wondering is, would it make sense to use that money to pay off the car loan and wait on the credit card, or put that towards a credit card debt? And I'll say this too, the car loan is about $350 a month. And part of the reason for the credit card debt is with costs rising, we've been using them more. So freeing up that $350 a month, I think, would be good. But I wanted to get your advice on that.
Yeah. So you said a brokerage account. It's just a taxable account. It's not a retirement account. Is that right?
Right.
All right. And is it currently invested in stocks?
About half of it is.
Okay. So it's down, or is it, has it recovered?
It's
some?
Down. I mean, it's recovered some, yeah, but it's down overall.
Okay. And if you were to get rid of this $350 a month, would that right size the budget such that you wouldn't have to use the credit cards anymore?
Yes.
Okay. But things would still obviously be tight because $350 is not much. So it sounds like you guys are kind of right up to the edge, huh?
There's five kids in the family, so yeah. I mean, with the grocery costs alone there.
I get it. Costs through the roof. Do you have any other savings, or is this it?
I do have about $3,000 in other savings. And that's kind of earmarked for taxes and other things, so it's not really accessible.
All right. And do you have some retirement accounts?
I do. Yep.
Okay. All right. Yeah, the challenge is, you know, this is all the liquid savings you have that's not earmarked for something else, because we wouldn't want to use savings that you have for taxes. And although it would help you balance the budget, and that's key, it doesn't sound like you'd have anything left. So you're solving for a deficit. It's not like you're able to make ends meet and now you'd have an extra $350 to replenish the emergency fund, because if that emergency fund essentially goes from seven to two, and then the unexpected comes, we're right back into the credit cards, which is what I want to avoid. So I think you need to do a couple of things immediately. One is we need to right size that budget as best you can. Let's get in there. And I realize you got a lot of mouths to feed. That's great. They're a blessing from the Lord. Expenses are up, but let's do everything we can to cut expenses. You know, if it's not food or the house or the utilities or the car, it's up on the chopping block, right? And even food, let's look at ways to dial that back as best you can so we can right size this budget. And if you were able to do that and demonstrate to yourself that you could avoid those credit cards, and I'd say, all right, let's consider wiping out the car loan and then take that $350 a month or something close to it, whatever you have left, and then really start rebuilding that emergency fund. And then let's get that $15,000 into a debt management program through ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Get those interest rates down. You'd have one level monthly payment that fits into your budget, and you'd be able to pay that off 80% faster. I realize you've got one at 0%, I think, here based on my notes for another year. You could hold that one out, and that would keep it open. But I think the key is to get a longer-term strategy that, you know that is going to get you on a track to get these paid off once and for all without the balance transfer game. So I think that's where I'd go from here. I'd just be careful about chewing up all that liquid savings, because that's all you got. And so really, this is going to come down first and foremost to what can you all do to get as close to right-sizing that budget as possible. Then we consider paying off the car loan, but we've got to have some margin, because really you need to get up to 3 months expenses, and then you need to start thinking about saving for the next car so you can buy it with cash. So listen, all the best to you. I'd contact ChristianCreditCounselors.org, see what they can do to help, and then maybe go from there. Thanks for your call, Seth. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day. And come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.